Hey guys, welcome to the Twisted Sisterhood podcast hosted by Ashley Mitchell and Kelsey Vandervliet Ranyard, a podcast by birth moms for birth moms to give a platform to a silenced voice in the triad. You can find us on Instagram at Twisted Sisterhood Podcast, Facebook at Twisted Sisterhood, and Twitter at Birth Mom Podcast. Give us a follow and use our hashtag There Goes the Sisterhood. And if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Twisted Sisterhood podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Vandervliet Ranyard, coming to you from California. Ashley Mitchell is here in Utah. She is probably so cold right now. Sucks to be you.
It's freezing. It's starting to snow and it's the week of Thanksgiving. What the hell?
Yeah, it is. Give thanks. It's giving thanks.
For giving thanks, whatever that means.
We have a really special guest today. I feel like every time we have a guest, we say, this is a really special guest. But this time we mean it. And not that our other guests haven't been special, but like, this is one of my, I already think that this is going to be one of my favorite episodes because I love this guest so much. We would like to introduce to you Lacey Shaw. She's a birth mom who placed her son in 2014 into a kinship adoption. She's now navigating life as a mom to two littles and two stepdaughters in Southern California. Welcome, Lacey.
Thank you.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be here.
We're really excited. We're really excited to have you. I met Lacey in California when I lived in Southern California at the support group, which was actually a lifetime healing support group. And yeah. Ashley, you've known Lacey longer than I have.
Yeah, Lacey a long time. I met randomly at an infertility conference because why wouldn't we meet at an infertility conference? I choose joy in California. I was there speaking on a professional panel, and then there was me. There was the professionals and then me also. I was not one of the professionals.
Right.
And I spoke that year, and then we did two more years after that, and Lacey and I got to speak together, which was amazing. And then Lacey and I have also been on the Big Tough Girl Cruise retreats like a couple of years. So we've known.
Heck yeah. So fun.
It's been so fun.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So Lacey, give us a brief overview of just
you know, how it all came to be.
The most traumatic right. day of your life.
Right. Give me the scoop. Okay. Let's get into it, guys. Hey guys, thank you for listening. Oh my God. So basically I'm 10 years out and, when I was only 18, I was trying to find my way, trying to figure it out as, you know, people do when they're 18. I was going through a lot of stuff at the time. I was dealing with a lot of like substance issues and, so was my baby daddy and, finally trying to like get myself together and like, okay, I'm gonna get on the straight and narrow. I'm gonna get my diploma, which I didn't have. I was a dropout. I like was like, I'm gonna try and figure my life out. I like broke it off with my boyfriend and I was like, I'm just gonna focus on me. I enrolled in like a I don't know what it's called, but I enrolled in like where you can live on campus and like get your diploma, learn a trade, the whole shebang. And the next day after I had started there, they called me into the office and they were like, hey, we need to talk to you because you have to do like a wellness check and stuff to live there. And they're like, hey, we have to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's something wrong with me. You know, like what's going on? And they just tell me like, oh, you're pregnant. And I was like, stop. I was like, I literally told them, like, is that my name? Does it say Lacey Shaw on that paper? Like, you're lying. So I like walked out of there crying, super like movie style. And I called my sister, my older sister. And I was like, dude, like I don't know what to do. I have to get an abortion. Like what's going to happen? Like, and she was like, okay, calm down. Like everything's going to be all right. And I had, I have an older brother who's 16 years older than me. And he had been married to his wife for like 8 years. And I didn't really know them. Like I would see them, you know, at like Christmas parties or things like that, but we never really like got to know each other at all. But I remember hearing through the grapevine that they were kind of having trouble building their family and that they were looking into adoption possibly. And I just never really cared. I was just like, okay, cool. Like, good luck with that. Like, never really talked to them or anything. And my older sister, who was closer to him, she had told me, like, hey, if I call Stephen and Lauren, they wanted to have the baby, like, would you keep it? And I was like, I'm down. Like, sure. And literally, like, was it basically from there. And saying that I didn't know them, I knew them well enough to know that they were good people and that they, like, you know, were gonna, like, raise up a child. You know, when you're young, you don't realize, like, I don't know what goes into that, but I just knew the basis of, like, okay, they're good people. I know that if they had my baby, they wouldn't, like, you know, run off with it or whatever. So, yeah, like, after that, I got on the phone with them, and they were just kind of asking me questions about, like, what's been going on in your life? Why do you want to do this? And I was real with them about everything that was going on. And they, because I didn't want to be fake about it and then them be like, or find out later and be like, oh my God, we don't want your baby or whatever. Just because I was dabbling in things that I shouldn't have been at the time. So
dabbling.
Yeah. You know, I was getting into a couple things that maybe I shouldn't have, but yeah, so I wanted to be real with them. Like, hey, this is it. And I told them, like, and I didn't know them as well as, like, I wanted to. So I told them, this baby's going to be black. Are you okay with that? Like, I wanted to get down to it. Like, what's your idea behind that, behind, like, an interracial family? And I came from that, being raised by two white parents. So I wanted to know, like, what is your idea about raising a black baby? And they were cool with it. So I was like, hey, like, whatever, like, let's do it. And then we went from there.
So, Lacey, it's so interesting because I know Steve and Lauren. Like, so at Choose Joy, when I met you the first year, you were maybe 2 years? Were you 2 years post-placement?
I think it was 2016. So, yeah, I was only 2 years.
Yeah, so 2016 would have been my first conference there. And we did 3 years after that.
Yeah.
And I introduced myself on stage. They had all the speakers come up and introduce themselves. And you guys were sitting at your table and they were doing, like, leading the worship music in this little family. Mm-hmm. And after, like, they found out, like, then I think they, like, Emmy dragged me over and introduced me to you guys. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is wild. Like, and I think I was, well, 2016, I was, like, on my decade out. Spin.
And that's how I remember finding you talking about being 10 years out and all that stuff.
Yes.
And it's funny because when I met you then, from my perspective, it was like I was meeting somebody famous. Like, I was like, oh my God, I've, like, seen you online. I can't believe this. Like, it was really, like, my moment. Like, I'm meeting Ashley.
You have arrived, girl. You have arrived. Welcome to the club.
It was,
but I remember I was 10 years out then, and I was meeting your brother and his wife, Lauren, who's so beautiful. And I was just like, oh, she's so crazy. And I actually hadn't worked with a lot of moms at that time that had even placed within family members or in this kinship thing. So it was crazy. It was crazy. But that's kind of the time frame, which is so wild.
It's crazy.
Yeah, well, shoot. I mean, I just, it's so funny, like, it's not funny, but it's interesting, I guess, like, we hear a lot of moms that come on that were like, yeah, I placed when I was 26, 25. And then, but, like, we always also get told, like, birth moms, like, teen pregnancy isn't as much of a thing anymore. And of course, like, 18, you're, like, on the cusp of adulthood and stuff. But, like, I always think, like, man, my excuse always is like, well, I was young. I didn't know what was going on. That's true. I was like 23. So it's like, I can't imagine, like, going through this process at 18 years old.
No, like, that's, dude. And yeah, like, when I think about it,
such a confusing time to be alive.
Yes.
And you were like, I'm going to get my life together. I am on track. And literally the day that you make all of these powerful decisions, you're hit with the wall.
Exactly. Like, I had to just organize my whole life in that exact moment. And it was so scary. And, like, I was just like, okay, like, what do I do from here? But I think the only thing that helped me was just to focus on the fact that, like, I know I can't parent right now, and I'm just going to put, like, all my energy into like enjoying this pregnancy as much as I can, and then knowing that he's going to be taken care of by people who are ready. Yeah. You know,
when you were like 2 years out, you had a really positive mindset. Tell me. I mean, you just were in that space. You were getting to know your brother, and you guys were having an open relationship.
Totally.
So back from then, when you were 2 years to now, I mean, how much has that positivity shifted?
Oh my gosh. It's wild, because I feel like in the first even 5 years, I was very gung-ho, like, birth mom of America, like, this is all so great, and we did such a great thing for me and for them and for the baby, and we just, like, we are God's gift, you know? It was very positive, and very, which there is huge positive parts to my story, which I don't want to like take from that. But I now, once you really like dig into yourself and like the high of it all comes away and you don't like push it down anymore, you realize like, this was really interesting what I just decided to do. And I feel like I've done a lot of work within myself to just kind of, you know, have the days where you cry about it and you feel like, man, that was a crazy thing that I did, and I wish I could have my baby here with me. And, you know, so it's way different than how I used to look at it. And even like, for example, like I remember when I was working as an ultrasound tech, in the first years, I would tell anybody about it. Anybody that wanted to listen, I was down to talk about it. Like, I was like, yeah, this is me, and this is my life, and this is my story. And now I've noticed, as I've gotten older, I kind of hold my cards close to the chest, as far as like, I don't really want to talk about that with everybody, because it's not like this wonderful, I mean, yeah, it's not like this wonderful story that like everybody needs to hear about, and every different person is going to have their opinions on it, and not that I care, but like, I kind of hold my cards close to the chest more than I did back then.
Not everybody is willing to look at the complexities, and sharing your story with everybody and allowing them to give their unsolicited opinion or interpretation of that is like, can be like so triggering. And you're like, that's not what I said at all, actually. Yeah. But thanks for that. Like, I totally get that. I'm the same. I've pulled back so much in recent years. Like, I don't tell anybody. I always say, like, I give people online, especially like not even 10% of me, because it's just, it gets you, you're giving people a lot of times, unfortunately, the opportunity to twist everything.
Or even when people would say, like, when, and they're coming from the like goodness of their hearts, because they don't know what to say, but still it's awkward when they say like, oh, well, you can get him back when he's older, or, you know, just those things where I'm like,
oh my god. So that's like such a, I get that from like my home, my townies back home. Like, they're like, oh, don't worry, you can get him back. I'm like, I don't think you're understanding what I'm telling you right now.
I understand. This is legally binding.
It's all good. It's all good. I know you, it's all love, but that's not how this works.
For
sure. So you're parenting now. Yes. You have kids, little kids, and
little tiny baby. I'm in Demi, the thick of it.
Demi
right now
is like Hallie's age almost, just a little younger. And so I know that is such a new experience to like have a baby and actually take the baby home from the hospital. Like, to me, that was so jarring. So what is it like now that you've got two little kids at home, and like, life just looks so different for you, but how does that feel in relation to, you know, you still have to be this birth mom, wear the hat?
Yeah. So it's crazy that you even said that about taking your baby home, because I remember when I had her, she had to be in the NICU. Like, Eli, my first son, had to be in the NICU as well. And so she had to be in the NICU, and they were getting ready to discharge me, and they didn't know if she was going to be ready to leave. And I said, one thing about it is I'm not leaving here without a baby. Okay. I don't care what has to happen, but I'm not, for me and my mental stability, I'm not living here without a baby. Okay. I've been there, and I'm not doing it again. So that's funny that you mentioned that, because it's The thing that you did however many years ago will stick with you in random parts of your life that you don't even think about until it happens. And I was like, it sounds cute and all, but she's going to be good when I'm good. So we're leaving.
Yeah. I the anxiety being in the hospital and Hallie was in our room with us, but the anxiety that someone was going to, like, the bubble was going to burst. Like, someone was going to come in here and be like, the adoptive parents are here.
We need you to sign some papers.
It wasn't a realistic scenario for me at that time, but like the anxiety just like consumed me, and I could not like let her out of my sight at all. They're like, "We'll take her to the nursery." I'm like, "Yeah, fat chance, bitch. Leave the baby here. Right. Get out.
Right,
like,
get out of here."
That was just not happening at all. It was so horrible. But I wonder, like, did that feel like that when you had your son just recently?
Yeah. So I was lucky enough this time that when I had my son just 4 months ago, that like he got to stay in the room with me and everything was cool on that aspect. So I didn't have as much anxiety. I kind of felt like a seasoned vet in that sense. Like, I was just like, okay, we're good this time around. And I feel like I actively tried to not think too much about my own insecurities or trauma or things like that, just so I could kind of enjoy it a little bit more. But definitely when I had Demi, it was all like, it was back. Like, I was 10 years back and I was like, no, I'm taking my baby. I don't care what you guys say. And because he was in the NICU, she was in the NICU, it was very like paralleled. So it took a lot for me to like try and keep my head the whole time.
Well, I think it's interesting too, especially when you place your first, all you know about motherhood is delivering a baby. Like, you don't know about like bringing a baby home and what any of that looks like. And so bringing one home, because it was like that when Ollie was born, right? So John and I had Ty and it was so traumatic and horrible. Like, and then Ollie was born. And by then I was like, I'm good. Like, he can, like, I calmed way the hell down at that point. But that first one was like, all I know about motherhood is delivery. This like the cryptic, like, I didn't know how to bring a baby home. I just knew how to give birth to a baby. Like, I didn't know any of that. And it was such a mind trip. It was crazy.
Totally.
No one talked about that, prepared me for any of that.
No, not at all. Yeah. That's the crazy thing about it too, is like, just feel like you feel like you've been here before, but you realize like, oh no, this is, like you said, like all I've done is delivery, like going home. Like, now I have to like get up with them every 2 hours and actually put like the work in. And you're like, well, not the work, because I did the work when I had the baby. but
those long nights, those long sleepless nights, I'm like, yeah, where's the adoptive parents? Can we get y'all in here for a second, because
I'm like,
you guys are not pulling your weight this time around. Like, what's going on?
totally. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I'm like staring at this baby. They're crying. I'm crying. Everybody's crying. I'm like, what the? Like, what is going on? it's
oh
crazy.
My gosh. So what is
like navigating?
So what's the dynamic now? I know you're still in an open adoption, but now you have, you know, the gang is getting bigger.
The gang
bigger.
Is all
so
here.
What is going on? How does that look like? What does that look like for you?
So it's actually crazy, which I've honestly never even talked about this with anyone else. But so I guess this podcast is like the perfect place to do it. But one thing that I've noticed that I kind of struggle with is like when I had Eli, I didn't have any other kids. So I didn't have a man. I didn't have anything else going on. So I would go and see him all the time. I was like, as often as I could, I'm coming to hang out. And like, I really liked Lauren and Steven. We got to know each other really, really well. I liked to talk to Lauren about adoption. And I felt like that was really healing for me, because me and her have that relationship that no one else in the world has, you know? So I liked talking with her about adoption and kind of working through my own things with her. So I was over there as often as I could, or as often as they would let me, you know, and I love that. But once I started building my family for my own, I noticed that my reaching out got a little bit less, and not that theirs didn't, because they still send me pictures and, you know, they're great in that aspect. But like, I started feeling guilty because I had my life now and I'm not being there for him as much as I used to be. And I'm like, oh my God, if he notices that, I would be crushed. Like, I would be dead. Like, and I don't know, I want to chalk it up to like, he's young, it's okay. So I hope he never sees that or whatever. But now in my life, I think the last time I saw him was September. And because it is a kinship adoption, it works out cool where like sometimes if we're having family gatherings and stuff, we do get to see each other just like because of like happenstance. But yeah, so I have a lot of guilt as far as like not being there for him because now I have to be here for my children, you know? So that's a whole thing that I have to work out. But yeah, it's all taken a day by day.
Yeah. How do you interesting? Oh. Yeah, that relationship, because like seasons change and like your focus changes. And so that guilt that you talked about, like, I think that's so true, because where, especially again, placing your first, they get older and older and your life gets busier when you start to hone into your own little household.
Totally.
And so the guilt of like, I'm not giving as much as I should or could, or it's just so, because that the child we place, they're always there. They're always with us, but it's like, but our responsibility and our time and our energy is in our home. And as you start to parent placement, you get married, you have all of these different things going on. And sometimes you'll just take pause and be like, oh, I suck. Like, it's been a minute and I probably should.
Exactly.
Say you lived right down the street from your son. Like, now you're, you know, so you got to see him all the time.
Yeah. Which makes it worse, I feel like, because we're only an hour away from each other. I'm like, dang, sometimes, to be truthful, it's been a long time before it's even crossed my mind that I should go over there. Yeah. You know, like, I just am so consumed with raising a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old that, like, and even when I was pregnant, I was working a lot and whatever. So then I feel even worse. Like, damn, I haven't even thought about the kid. Like, wow. Like, I'm terrible. Like, this is crazy. So I had posted, I know you guys saw it, but I had posted a couple weeks ago how he called me, and that was so amazing, because I remember, Ashley, when you used to talk about how when he got older and he was able to just contact you, and I used to like just fantasize about that time, like, oh my gosh, like, I that's would be so cool. And not to say that I want to kick out like Stephen and Lauren at all, but it's just a beautiful time when they are old enough to like want to even just want to talk with you.
It's just the progression. It changes. Yeah.
And totally. It's not to kick out adoptive parents at all. I think it is a really great moment where this child is taking that power for their own relationship, their own adoption. And that power is rightfully theirs. And so for them to be able to have that control is the goal. I mean, that's what we want. So
totally. Yeah. So him just calling me that time was just so beautiful. And I literally like cried about it forever. For a long time, like, it just like took me there, and it felt so good though, because I was just like, yeah, like, I can't believe even just that small little glimmer of like he even thought to call me. And I don't even know if his mom had said like, hey, call Lacey. I don't even care. Just the fact that he wanted to call and be like, hey, Lacey, I got this phone, and you know, how are you? And he's like, how are the kids? I'm like, who are you? So yeah, just things like that make me happy. And I feel like I've laid like the foundation, even if I'm not there all the time, or if I haven't been able to make it to him as much as I would like in my heart, I still have like laid that groundwork of like, I love you and I'm here for you, and I want to talk to you whenever you want, you know?
For sure. What do you think, like, you're 10 years out. So what is like the most, I don't know. I don't know how to phrase this question, really, because it's such a big concept, but like, adoption's a lifelong decision. You made this decision at 18 years old. So now that you're 10 years out, what's going on in your mind? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, what, how do you feel about things? Like, is there something you wish you could tell yourself, or is there something that you wish was different, or
Yeah. So, is why I love the BTG cruises, because they are literally, I have learned things from people that I will take with me forever in my adoption world. I remember I was sitting down with Amy. We know and love Amy. I was sitting down with her. We were having dinner and we're just talking back and forth. And she's telling me about her story and all that good stuff. And she goes, I just wish. And I think at that time she was like 15, 20 years out. Like she was like veteran, like seasoned. And she told me, she's like, I just wish at that time, like one person would have been there for me. Like one person would have said, you know, the cards are stacked against you, but you got it. Like you could do it. You could do this. And that was crazy to me because at that time I was still in the, like, I'm birth mom of America, you know, where I didn't really think about that kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, hold up. Like, yeah, that's crazy. If any one person had just said, like, okay, it's tough right now, but you can make it work. Like anyone, I feel like I would have taken that and like picked myself up from my bootstraps and said, let's do it, kid. Like we're going to get it out the mud, but we're going to figure it out. So I think about that a lot, especially now that I'm older and have kids and know that I'm a good mom and know that I, like, you know, figured it out and I didn't go that crazy route that I thought I was going to. Like, man, I wish anybody would have been in my corner to say, like, you got it. Like you can make it happen for your kid. And I feel like I dropped the ball for him because I just couldn't get, I wasn't together at that exact moment when I was like gifted him, you know? So that's just something that is tough to like navigate in my own mind. It's like, dang, I didn't get it together for him when I should have.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel a lot of that as well. And I think that, this is when it like gets really hard to look at ourselves too, because, and Ashley does a really good job, and Ashley's probably, I shouldn't say like Ashley's the first, because, you know, some people will be like, oh, no, she's not. But for me, she's the first person that I ever heard say that, like, it's also a selfish choice to make. It's not just, you know, it can't just be all about the child. A lot of times it has a lot to do with us as well. And this, it's not a blanket statement either. I think everybody has different circumstances, but like, there's so much that like was unknown about parenting and like just being an adult and stuff too, that like, there was a lot of selfishness in the decision, and also a lot of lack of support as well from people that you needed that one person to kind of like, be that support emotionally or whatever it took.
Yeah. And I feel like we all know this really well. Like, agencies and things like that can be pretty predatory sometimes, as far as on the side of adoptive parents, and all they really want is just the baby out of it. Not saying that that was my situation, but, it goes along with like, nobody is going to tell you, you got it. You know, nobody is going to say that because they want the baby to go to this, like, you know, perfect household or, you know, whatever, like they want it to happen in the favor for adopted parents. So,
and I want to also interject, instead of perfect household, we're just going to say paying customer.
Right. They've got the money for it. But yeah, so I feel like it goes really hand in hand with that. It's like, nobody's ever going to hear that, which like now I've had people, I've even had people reach out to me like, hey, there's this girl, she's addicted to drugs. She, you know, she's pregnant. We need you to talk to her and da da da. I'm like, no, I'm not your gal. Like, I'm not that spokesperson. One thing I'm going to tell her is keep it. Like, you don't want me to talk to her, so leave me alone. But yeah, so it's just funny in the way that like you are just never going to hear that, I guess. So yeah, I just wish somebody, anyone would have told me that, but I get why they didn't, because I was in such a like low spot. I get it. But if anybody had been in my corner, like, I would have been like, I love you for that.
Yeah. I think it's interesting when you look back, it's like just one little thing, one little shift, and no one has a crystal ball. That's why I hate like the question, like, you know, do you regret your decision? I can't actually say that because the circumstances are still what they were, but one little thing, one turn of events, one change, one voice, one something could have drastically changed the outcome. Mm-hmm. And when you look back and you're like, I had all these people around me that were rallying me for to give this baby to somebody else,
right?
You know, why wasn't it in my corner? And so I think, I don't know a birth mom that hasn't at least looked back at some point and said, where was everybody?
Right. Yeah.
Turn this decision on, you know, and like you said, with the professionals, right? That's just bad marketing, right? They're not going to talk about the grief and trauma and the
exactly.
harm.
Exactly. They got to pay
and
their
the
bills.
The lifelong of devastation and all these things. But it's just like, even if you just would have informed me of what I was up against, what I was actually going to be facing, then that would have been helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be so blindly unprepared and to follow these recommendations so blindly, like, shame on us, right? Like, we failed in that spot.
I feel like for me too, it needed to be the right person. Like, it probably needed to be my mom and dad because they were the ones I had looked to. I was dependent on them for a lot of things, probably more than I needed to be. But like, for me, it would have needed to be them. I had a couple people here look at me like, what? You're doing what? And, but it was sort of like, well, what are you going to do about it? You're not going to let me move into your house, and you're not going to like get up with the baby at night and deal with the drama of this stupid ass baby daddy. Like, this not, you're not going to do that with me. So
exactly.
It was like, so, come on,
be quiet.
Exactly. So, but yeah, I think there's just so much we just did not know. We didn't have concept of if there was anything, say you go back 10 years and you're like, still going to make the same decision. Is there anything you wish someone would have stepped in and told you and given you, like any information about what this journey was going to be like? Or
I think I would have liked if somebody would have given me a snapshot of how I'm going to even explain this to my children. Like, that's crazy. What now? Like, cause like I have this little like slideshow thing of pictures on my TV when it like hasn't been used in a while. So I obviously have pictures of Eli and stuff, and my daughter, who's only two, will be like, Eli, like, you know, or she sees pictures around of him, and I'm like, how am I, when they're old, like, when do I even start talking about, or like, how do I even navigate this? And then they're gonna have their own like sadness about it, I guess, or, you know, their own problems with the fact that like there is a human being that is related to them that they don't have a relationship with from the beginning when they should have, you know, like somebody should have said like, hey girl, you know, maybe you're gonna have your own kids one day, and now you got to figure that out for them. You're not just doing this for you because you're in this like 1 year of like being like messing up your life. You have to now deal with this forever. So
yeah,
I wish somebody maybe had put that into perspective, or that would have been cool, like to see that for the future. But
I think the generational impact is so lost in the conversation. We had no clue. I had no clue that my kids were going to care on the level that they do. And it's been awesome to watch the kids together and just heartbreaking. And I'm like, this affected generations. It wasn't a one-off thing. And no, like, that is not part of the conversation.
Right. Exactly.
Totally. My sister, my oldest sister, Chelsea, my dad had her when he was like 19 or something. And then just, she ended up eventually being he signed his parental rights away, and she was adopted by her stepdad years later. And so they kept us apart, growing up, and I didn't meet her till she's 9 years older than me. I didn't meet her till I was like 15 or 16. So, we are now navigating. My grandpa died on Sunday, and he super, super cared about her just like he did us, and made an effort to be her grandfather when she was little. And now I'm as close as you can be with a sister that you didn't grow up with. But like, we're like, this really sucks. Like, it's like this separation it really sucks. And then I watch my own kids and I'm like, damn, like I did it to them too. Like, we're cursed. And so it's hard. And like today I dropped Hallie off at preschool, and her teacher was like, Hallie keeps saying that she has a brother.
I'm like, oh yeah, do you want to know the worst day of my life? I would love to tell you. Like, I can't wait to tell you this. Yeah. And yeah, I had to like recount this to my kid's preschool teacher because Hal's got a big mouth. So, but I mean, yeah, this is so generational, so mm-hmm. generational, and nobody is really talking about that. Even being, my dad is also adopted, being parented by an adoptee. I mean, like, Derek and Eli and my son, they're all going to have kids someday, maybe, if that's what they choose.
Yeah.
They're going to be affected by this too. They're going to be parented by an adoptee. That's a new experience. It's a totally different experience than being parented by someone who was not adopted. I have my totally. Mom who wasn't and my dad who was, and it is different for sure.
Totally.
So yeah.
And that's crazy. I didn't know that about you, Kelsey, about you and your sister, because I have literally the same exact story. Like, I was raised your brother. By my stepdad. Well, no, even that, like, that's separate. Like, my mom had two kids from another marriage, which is my brother who has my son. But my mom, I was raised by my stepdad, essentially. My mom had a baby with, like, a friend, which was me. And
as you do.
Baby. Yeah, as you do. And then he had two other older kids who I never knew my whole life. And I just met them. And even my biological father, I met when I was 20 years old. And I started navigating my relationship with my two older siblings. Yeah. And same thing. And I'm so close with my sister. We always talk about, like, that sucks that we didn't have that from the beginning. Like, and we always say, like, man, if we were growing up together, like, we would have been like crazy. And, you know,
totally
all those totally. Things that you just are like, dang, like, if you people would have got it together, we could have had like a real relationship. And it's the same thing. Like, dang, I just did that to my kids.
I know.
I do not envy your family tree projects for school.
Dude, I've tried to do it. Awful. I've tried to do it for people just so they can kind of understand. And it's crazy. It's like zigzag.
I've been doing my family tree on Ancestry, basically, because we can trace back really, really far. My family's like been in Northern Indiana, like the whole time, like just straight up from Switzerland and Germany.
They're like, this is now where we're in Indiana.
Yeah, forever. And so, like, I've been doing that on my mom's side, and then my dad's side. Ancestry makes you switch on and off for adoptive family and birth family. So, like, my dad's adoptive dad is the one who passed this weekend. And so, like, on my ancestry thing, it'll be like, do you want to be in adoption mode or do you want to be in birth family mode?
Weird.
And so it makes you like switch it out to do crazy. That side of the family tree. It's wild. And so it's really annoying though too, because it's like it keeps your birth, your bio side hidden, or it keeps your adoptive side hidden. And when in reality, those two are very real parts of my dad and his lineage and his life. And so it's bizarre. Just the family tree stuff.
I know. With the ancestry thing is so funny, because I went to a wedding a month or two ago, and it was from my biological dad's side. And this lady walked up to me and she goes, you know, I have you on Ancestry. And I'm like, who are you? I was like, hey, girl. She's like, yeah, we're cousins. I'm like, oh, well, nice to meet you. Like, it's so That's weird. Crazy.
Yeah.
It's super crazy.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's, and my sister and I, just like the biological, I think what our collective understanding of the importance of having that biological tie is A, that you can see if you look like them or not, and B, your medical information, which in reality, that's such a shallow view of why it's important. Although that stuff's cool too, but it's like, there's so much more depth to that than
way
we're,
deeper than,
than
that,
we're
yeah.
looking. And so, and yeah, I wonder, you know, when the cycle is really going to break, because
hopefully it goes
now.
So deep.
I think too, like, there was this sense that I felt personally for me, because I know in our last episode with Mercedes, she talked about being a cycle breaker, and totally is. I think in my sense, I think I at first believed that this was going to be like, I'm breaking a cycle, but I was just continuing it.
because I'm the fourth generation in my family to relinquish. So it was like,
that's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I just,
yeah. And that goes along with,
it's such a mess that we didn't know. Yeah.
And like I said, like that goes along with like you just being like so naive at the start of it, where you're not really thinking of all the pieces to the puzzle. And you think that you're breaking the cycle. Like for me, my parents have severe substance abuse issues, like severe. Mm-hmm. And at that time in my life, so did I. And so in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm breaking the cycle. When in reality, I just like perpetuated it, because now I like broke off or this kid
started a new cycle that needs to be broken.
Right. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Like I thought I'm doing something good, and now I just like mixed the pot even more. So it's just crazy. The things that you don't think about at that moment.
What a mess.
Yeah, totally. Oh my gosh.
It's just been really awesome, Lacey, to just be able to kind of be a part of your journey, a fly on the wall for the last 10 years.
Totally, the whole time.
And just, you know, little conversations that we've had. And I think a lot of us have been really lucky to meet early enough in our journeys to kind of have each other and have this close-knit group of, I mean, you got to listen to a birth mom on a stage for like one of the first times ever to talk about some of this stuff. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is playing out right now.
Totally.
But so many of us don't have those kinds of opportunities, but it's just been so amazing that we've been able to have that kind of connection and support. And
I
can't even imagine to have been able to listen to someone that was 10 years out that was navigating a realistic relationship. Like, you know, I came into this listening to birth moms with closed adoptions, and there's so much bitterness and harm and anger and frustration and all the things that were so valid, but I didn't have somebody helping me. Like I didn't get a voice from that was someone that was 10 years out. And so I think it's really cool that we've been able to, that our little group has been able to come up like that.
Totally.
And I think too, just like being able to grow together too, because we weren't in the same place. Like I think, Lacey, I think I met you four or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Maybe.
And so like 5 years ago. So I think to be able to come from that spot 5 years ago, even, and just kind of like, you know, we talk every once in a while on Instagram and stuff like that, but like, we're not like growing together, but we're all going at our own pace. And then we come back together to podcast. And we're all like, oh yeah, we're on the same page about that, because that's the progression that's the journey we're on, baby. So
we're just going, figuring it out as we go. But yeah, I know. I love having you guys. And like how I said with Ashley, when I met her, I remember Kelsey, I was hanging out with Lauren, and she was like, have you seen this girl? Her page is like called like From Another Mother. Like, have you seen like the things she talks about? She's kind of like, well, I don't remember the word she used, but you know how you are, like very like
aggressive.
To the point, I'm like, okay, let me see about her. And I remember like seeing your posts and stuff, and I'm like, I mess with her. Like, I want to get to know her.
She's very threatening. I really like her.
Yeah. No, I liked it because it was such a different view. And like Ashley has always been good about that, to give a different perspective. But I feel like with Ash, we obviously have like adoptive parents in the mix, and you don't want to like step on toes and things like that. And then like you, Kels, came in like, what's up?
Ashley, we've always said like Ashley's, and this is a gift because it's not a gift that I have, but Ashley can handhold like nobody's business. And I cannot, I'm like, get in, loser. We're going to burn it down. Like, and Ashley's just famous. Like, look, I'm going to meet you where we are. We're going to sit knee to knee. We're going to blah, blah, blah. We're going to
perspective.
And I'm like, good for you, but I'm not doing that. And that's why we're a good team. That's why we're
totally. It's like perfect on each side, where it kind of breaks down like any thoughts that you might have from any side of it. Like, okay, like, let me look at this from a different view. So
for sure.
You guys are doing it.
I want to ask Lace really quick, like one more question. Like,
yeah,
what, knowing what you know now and the way you've grown in 10 years, what do you hope for the next 10? Like, I know that's hard to know, but I mean, you grew so much. And now, like you said, you got that phone call. Now, you know, your son's reaching out to you personally. And like, so over the next 10 years, what's kind of the expectation of, I mean, have you been thinking about, oh my gosh, 10 years, what does another 10 look like?
Right. So I remember recently you had posted about how you and Derek got to go and like sit in the parking lot of like the hospital, and you guys got to just, you hashed it out like, here, this is where I was at the time and having you and everything. And me reading that whole thing, I was just like, oh my God, like, this is amazing. Like, it was everything to me, because I think about, I want to be able to, you know, put my side of the story onto it, you know, like I want to be able to talk to him as he grows and matures and can handle those kind of conversations. I want to be able to lay it out for him, like, hey dude, this is where I was at, but I love you so much and I wish it could have gone a different way, and I, you know, all the things that you want to say, but I want him to know, not just from his parents' side, which they've always done an amazing job of like keeping it real, like they're not, it was never, you know, it was never like a, hey, guess what, you're adopted, never anything like that, but they've always done a really good job. But obviously I want to say, you know, my piece and like give him my side of it. So that's kind of where I hope we can go in the next couple years, in the next 10 years, and like just explain to him how literally obsessed I am with him. And like, I, you know, it wasn't in the cards for us right at that moment, but I, you know, I love him more than anything on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a terrifying thing, but it was such a cool thing when we started really understanding that we're transitioning into adulthood with each other, not just navigating an open adoption with like a gatekeeper in the middle. And it's just, it's a shift, and it's cool. Lacey, we love you so much. I mean, you're amazing.
I love you guys. Thank you.
We're so lucky that we got to meet when we did, and still pursue this friendship. And I've just, it's just been amazing. We're so grateful for everyone for tuning in for another episode of the Twisted Sisterhood podcast. So many more amazing episodes to come. More of just Kelsey and I, and more amazing guests. We hope you have an incredible holiday weekend and happy Thanksgiving, and go eat your feelings.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you, Lacey.
Doubling down on my plate. Thank you guys. I love you guys so much.